This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN Prime Time alongside Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. Halftime of our game of the night, Montana State, a impressive three-play, 75-yard touchdown drive after Illinois State looked like, hey, we got a shot. And someone forgot to tell Illinois State there's nothing worse than hope. And Montana State went right down the field, including a touchdown on a leap over a defensive back, 33 yards into the end zone. And Stormy down there on the sidelines is witnessing some pretty damn good football from Montana State tonight.
Stormy, that was thunder and lightning from the Bobcats offense. How about that? Montana State now live number 20.5. You got to lay minus 130 if you want to lay the 20.5 up 14. Total of 55.5. The money line for Montana State, this is a DraftKings minus 15,000. I guess they feel like the Redbirds are not going to make a comeback tonight like they did against North Dakota State.
Well, if
they were down two touchdowns late in that game at North Dakota State, Tim, and Illinois State pulled off the improbable upset. I don't think it's going to happen tonight. I'm telling you, Justin Lampson and this Bobcats offense looks too good. I don't see him breaking down here in the second half. I know the big Randy McKay, who took the points with Illinois State, not real happy right now. After that late defensive breakdown by the Redbirds, he said, man, we're going to need a much better second half if we're going to cover tonight. I don't like I think the end of the first half, that 75-yard drive, very pivotal in how this game's going to play out in terms of the point spread. Doesn't it feel like a backbreaker if you bet the dog?
Oh, yeah.
Almost like a backbreaker. And if you bet the under, you got to be sick on what happened there in the final minute of the first half.
Live total 55.5 and spread at 20.5. What did this number close at? 56?
This number 58? Closed at 57.
Okay.
And a half. 57.5.
So kind of a little bit where it was pre-flop, but to your point, it looked like it was going to be 14-7, trending very heavily to the under, and now that is not the case. Maybe Justin Lampson could go to Nebraska, Matt, because they thought they had Kenny Minchie, the Notre Dame transfer, locked up, and Kenny Minchie said, just kidding. I'm going to go to Kentucky, and that is where he is committed.
I thought that Sam Levitt, the Arizona State quarterback, was going to transfer to Kentucky. Is that not the case?
I think he's going to be headed to LSU. I think that is the latest.
So LSU stepped in with more money than Kentucky.
Seems that way. Yeah, so if you're keeping track at home.
LSU is not going to get Trinidad Chambliss, and he's likely to stay at Ole Miss.
Well, Trinidad Chambliss announced today that he is going to stay at Ole Miss if he's granted a six-year of eligibility. Josh Hoover, the TCU transfer, he's going to Indiana. Brendan Sorsby, the Cincinnati transfer, is going to Texas Tech. And then it's just musical chairs everywhere else around the country.
I mean, Trinidad Chambliss should sue the NCAA, and then he'll win and he'll be able to play.
Sure. Sue everybody.
NCAA is so afraid of the litigation and losing these lawsuits, is allowing everyone to play. By the way, this Illinois State-Montana State game, DraftKings closed a total 57.5, circa 56. And I saw a couple other books. BetMGM closed 58.5. So kind of a difference in the the total when this game kicked off tonight in Nashville. 28 points at the half. And Montana State looking pretty good right now.
A couple other quarterbacks to keep our eyes on. DJ Lagway, he end up? He visited Florida State.
What? Yeah, come on. You can't go from Florida to Florida State.
Nothing matters now.
No royalty anymore. It's just money.
Johnny Damon went from the Red Sox to the Yankees.
I didn't like that. I don't like any guy going from the Red Sox to the Yankees or vice versa. That shouldn't happen. Wade Boggs. Wade Boggs was the definition of a Red Sox, and he ends up with the Yankees.
I'm sorry, Matt.
Huh?
Are you talking about Tampa Bay Ray Hall of Famer Wade Boggs? Well,
Roger Clemens goes from the Red Sox. It's amazing some of the stuff that you would think that a quarterback would not go from Florida to Florida State.
He hasn't committed yet, but that is he did visit there. It's hard to keep up on all this, a lot of this movement. But
you gonna transfer from Michigan to Ohio State or vice versa?
Show me the money. So Jerry Maguire
actually had a basketball player do it a couple years ago, but basketball is a little bit different.
Matt, Got a bunch of firings today, including Pete Carroll.
No surprise.
Disastrous season as he is gone. But maybe a surprise was that Cleveland fired two-time coach of the year, Kevin Stefanski.
Not surprising.
So Kevin Stefanski is out. He is believed now to be a pretty hot candidate for the other five head coaching vacancies. Let's hear from CBS's Pete Prisco on Kevin Stefanski's firing.
What I would do if I was the Raiders, I would hire Kevin Stefanski.
Same.
I would give him Mendoza. I think Stefanski's not a yeller. He's more of a teacher. Mendoza's personality. The sport's going with offensive guys. I would go get Kevin Stefanski.
I would have a lot of reservations. And I, like I said, I'm not the biggest Stefanski guy, but if I had to compare Stefanski to Flores, if I have this quarterback prospect, I don't even think twice. I think the Raiders are in a tough spot, just like a lot of these teams. Look at the candidates. There's not Ben Johnsons and Sean McVays and Kyle Shanahans that you go, let's hire that offensive guy. A lot of unnamed GMs are like, it's not a good year for candidates. You're kind of stretching. And, you know, that's why Stefanski, or if Tomlin or Harbaugh are let go, they would be hired, I would say, in 48 hours.
Although I'll tap the chest on that one. We talked to Corey, our producer. We set it up. It was Colin Cowherd first. My mistake there. So bad pass by me on the discussion there.
Yeah, you threw it to the cold shooter. You know, the Colin Cowherd's off on so many predictions. I don't really care what he says about any of these vacancies or anything. Who was that sidekick with him? I don't know who that guy was either. But you can't be fixated. I prefer hiring offensive-oriented coaches, but you can't be fixated on that if you feel like you got the right guy. Like the Patriots hired Mike Vrabel. He's been a great hire. All right? And if you got Josh McDaniels as offensive coordinator, then you got a great staff. You can have a defensive head coach if you have a great offensive coordinator. McDaniel's always been really good OC, just not a good head coach. Well, the Raiders can hire Brian Flores as head coach as long as they get a really good OC to mentor and teach that young quarterback, whether it's Fernando Mendoza, Dante Moore, whoever it might be. And that's Brian Daboll, it looks like. It's going to be Brian Flores, head coach of the Raiders, Brian Daboll, offensive coordinator. Those are the reports or rumors out there. I like that combination. That would work. Flores is a hell of a defensive coach, one of the best in the league. And Daboll, I think, really underrated. Look what he did in Buffalo with Josh Allen when he developed him. And some of the circumstances with the Giants just, didn't work out. Giants have been a worse organization, one of the worst in the NFL over the past 9 or 10 years. I like that combination of Flores.
Oh, that would be a great
and
combo.
Daboll in Vegas with the Raiders. I think it'd be much improved. Now, Kevin Stefanski, I also think he was hamstrung, he was handcuffed, whatever you want to call it, with the Browns organization, because you've got an absolute idiot as owner in Jimmy Haslam, and you got a GM in Andrew Berry who does very little right. And Stefanski probably didn't deserve to be coach of the year twice, but at the same time, I think he's a guy who's going to be in high demand. He's going to get a job.
And oh, yeah.
One thing, he's going to get a good one if he wants it. You don't have to settle for the Jets job or something like that, but
Jets job's not open. That's you got to keep Aaron Glenn after this great season.
I know, but they should fire him. You know, you don't have to settle for a job like the Jets or the Titans or the Giants job or something like that. What's going to be interesting here is if the Packers lose to the Bears on Saturday night, Matt LaFleur is going to be in a bit of trouble in Green Bay. And Stefanski would be a pretty good replacement for LaFleur in Green Bay if something like that happened. I've heard some rumblings that LaFleur might be in trouble if the Packers lose that game. Anyway, let's hear about Pete Prisco talking about Stefanski and what might be next for the ex-Browns coach.
If Kevin Stefanski hits the market, the Giants will be the first call that they make. They'll call him. I mean, I think he'll get a job like that instantly. So I don't know if he wants out of there. If I were him and I could get the Giants job and I can get a chance to have Jackson Dart instead of what he has there in Cleveland, I'm out. And sometimes it just runs its course a little bit, by the way. You know, sometimes it gets stale. And the organization has made some bad decisions going back to Deshaun Watson. It's the worst trade in the history of the National Football League, and it's crippled that franchise. And so he didn't, from what I was told, he didn't want that trade made. And so he was saddled with Deshaun Watson as his quarterback. It didn't work. And now they have that mega contract. They gave up all those draft picks. And this is the situation they're in. If I were him, I'd want out of there, and he will get a job like that.
Well, first of all, I said this when the trade was made, Tim, before Deshaun Watson ever played a game or made a big blunder with the Browns. I said it was going to go down in history as the worst trade and subsequent contract extension in the history of the NFL. and it has been. And it's interesting that Stefanski, now that he's out, he's leaking the information to media
members.
Never
wanted it.
Never wanted that deal done. That was a Jimmy Haslam deal. And boy, did that backfire big time on the Browns. So Stefanski trying to wash his hands of that whole Deshaun Watson situation, as he should. And, you know, you filter or you send that information out to the certain media members to throw that out there on their shows and say, hey, look, Kevin Stefanski didn't have anything to do with Deshaun Watson. I really don't understand why the Browns are going to keep Andrew Berry.
I don't understand.
At GM.
Why would you keep Andrew Berry and fire Kevin Stefanski? That was clearly
Jimmy Haslam.
Some sort of battle, and Haslam's Berry won the battle.
I know. But Pete Prisco, CBS, was right. Sometimes relationship just runs its course. You got to move on. And I think that's the situation with Stefanski and the Browns.
Yeah, I heard that Albert Breer said something similar from a Monday Morning Quarterback, saying, you know, it just kind of ran out time. And if you're Stefanski, do you look at the Giants job or see what else possibly opens up? I would be a bit surprised.
Well, he's going to take the best possible offer he gets.
Yeah, I would be a bit surprised if the Packers job opened up. But, yeah. You know, we'll see how the game plays out. What do you make of that game? We'll talk more about it on the other side. Packers-Bears Part 3, Saturday night in Chicago.
I think Matt LaFleur is a pretty good coach. He has not done a great job in Green Bay over the last few years. I've got a lot of doubts about Jordan Love, too. That's who's going to have to step up and perform against the Bears on Saturday.
Let's dive into some of those games that we will see this weekend, as it will be Wild Card Weekend starting on Saturday. It's VSiN Primetime.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN Primetime, alongside Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. Halftime down in Nashville, Tennessee. The FCS National Championship going on. Montana State trying to squash the hopes of Cinderella. They want the clock to strike midnight, Matt. You're a big Cinderella fan, I imagine, right? Watch it every night?
What? The movie or the rock group?
There's a rock group called Cinderella?
I thought there was. Wasn't there a music group called Cinderella? I don't know.
Well,
I've never even seen the movie. So I don't know. Is that a Disney movie, by the way?
That is stunning. You have never seen Cinderella. That is shocking to me. Just
the only Cinderella
shocked me to the core.
The only Cinderella story I know is from the movie Caddyshack.
Cinderella story.
Yeah. I don't know where. There's a lead in the final hole of the Masters at Augusta National.
21-11.
About time for those corny CBS promos.
Oh, they've already started.
Have they?
Oh, yeah.
Hello, friends.
Hello, friends. Yeah. Before you know it, the magnolia trees down there in Augusta
will be here.
21-11 is the score in East Lansing. Not a pretty start. How about USC? 4-21.
It's not going to get it done, Tim.
On the field.
They're trending in the wrong direction, the way they're shooting the ball to open the game tonight. Eric Musselman looks very angry over there on the sideline. He's an angry little man right now. Look at him. Michigan State throws in a 3-24-11. Spartans take the lead. I like Musselman. He's a heck of a coach. So intense. Right now, he's just in a tough spot. He's going on the road to Michigan and Michigan State back-to-back with a shorthanded team.
Right now, live line in this one is 20.5. Is Matt, Michigan State's going to come down and make another three. So this is blowout city. And you asked the question, do you want to bet against Michigan State off of a loss?
No.
And the collective answer was, no thanks. And that would be the accurate answer because it has been a blowout so far. Michigan State beating USC earlier tonight. 10th-ranked Nebraska. Yeah, you heard it right. 10th-ranked Nebraska gets their 19th straight win. Freddie Hoiberg is now 15-0 to start the year. Unbelievable.
That's wild.
And they hold on.
Think about this. Nebraska has the longest win streak in college basketball right now. Nebraska.
And Indiana.
Indiana's number one in football.
Is almost an odds-on favorite to win the national title.
Crazy.
What the hell's going on out there?
Big Ten dominance, by the way.
72-69, the final score earlier tonight. Ohio State closed as a slight favorite. Back and forth, Ohio State did take the lead briefly, and then Nebraska closed out and was able to get the victory there. 72-69, the final score. Cornhuskers now 15-0, Matt. And their next game.
At Indiana.
On the road at Indiana.
Good chance I might be on the Hoosiers in that game.
You weren't on them today, and you were on the right side, you didn't take the bait.
I didn't take the bait with the Buckeyes.
Now, I ended up splitting the bet because I took four at halftime, and somehow, some way, that came home. So we split that one. But, yeah, Indiana, that'll be a noon Eastern tip time on Saturday.
That's going to be a good one. And that's a tough place to play, and Indiana's playing well right now. I had Indiana last night laying 7 against Washington. That game came down to the wire. Not a great performance by the Hoosiers, so not crazy about the way they played last night. They ended up winning the game by 10, but you had to survive the free throw three-point nonsense at the end to get the cover with the Hoosiers last night, and they got it. I'm seeing a report, Tim. By the way, Michigan Wolverines tomorrow, 23-point favorites at Penn State. Who wants to bet against Michigan right now? Nobody.
Yeah. Penn State did cover over the weekend against Illinois. Yeah.
I mentioned that on your show Saturday morning.
At the Palestra in Philly.
Why and I were laying 16.5, and they won by, what, 9? Something like that?
73-65, yeah.
8. So, Michigan football news. Bryce Underwood, the most overpaid quarterback in college football, is returning to the Wolverines.
So that means that
Or bad news for Michigan?
Does that mean Devin Dampier is coming back to Utah?
Well, I just saw the report on ESPN that Underwood's coming back, and I really thought that maybe Kyle Whittingham would come in and say, let's just cut this kid loose and bring in Devin Dampier. Yep. But maybe that's not going to happen.
Jason Beck, the offensive coordinator, is following Kyle Whittingham.
Now, Underwood's got a ton of talent. I've knocked him, criticized him the entire season. You know that. We're on the podcast together each week, and I don't like the way Underwood played at all as a freshman, but he's got a ton of physical ability. Sure. He needs a really good coaching staff to bring it out of him. And that Michigan coaching staff last season, not good. Maybe this Kyle Whittingham staff could do it because he's big. He's got a cannon arm. He just doesn't know how to use all the physical talents he's got. If that kid is well coached, he could be dangerous. Maybe that's what Kyle Whittingham sees.
Next year, Michigan's schedule, home game against Oklahoma. Have to play Indiana, but they get them at home. They play Penn State, get them at home. They have to go to Autzen, and, of course, they play Ohio State. So they get a lot of the big boys. That is a pretty challenging schedule next year for the Wolverines, and we'll see how it all. Also, they play Iowa, which you always know is going to be a war no matter what.
Indiana and Oregon play this week in a semifinal. Iowa had both those teams on the ropes in Iowa City this season. Should have beat Indiana and damn close to beating Oregon.
And beat Vanderbilt, a team that many people believe should have been in the playoff. You and I both had Iowa in that spot. That number was inflated. By the way, the SEC, they don't care about bowl season, right?
Nah, you know, Tim, those games don't matter.
That's right.
Okay. Alabama didn't care about the Rose Bowl.
Tennessee didn't care about a bowl game in their own state. You know, they didn't care. 2-7, ATS and straight up SEC this postseason when they don't play each other, because of course two of their games are against one another. Matt, we do have the NFL playoffs starting this week, and obviously all week long we will be breaking these games down. You mentioned it. You might find yourself eventually on the Carolina Panthers. Right now, FanDuel still sitting 10.5, mostly 10s out there. The Rams on the road at Carolina. It's funny. I was doing a hit earlier or late last week, and we were talking about just the joke of a division that is the NFC South and how, you know, an 8-9 team is going to get in and all of this and that. And I said, yep, and then I'll probably end up betting the Carolina Panthers. And you made a point about the Rams. You know, offensively, they are as dynamic, maybe the most dynamic team in the NFL. But, man, at times it looks like there's some things off there. Will you be looking at the home dog Carolina Panthers on Saturday afternoon?
I will be. I have not bet it yet. This number looked a little bit high. I thought the number was going to come somewhere around 8. So you got 10. You're going to be able to grab 10.5 if you like the Panthers. You're talking about an 8-9 team that had a point differential of minus 69. That's an ugly home dog, too. But the Rams, and I hate to say this, kind of a mess down the stretch, right? They lost a game in Seattle. Obviously, the officials hijacked that game, so I didn't really hold that against the Rams. But the problem is they did not play well the next week at Atlanta and against the Cardinals on Sunday in a get-right game at SoFi Stadium. They were struggling into the second half in that game. If there wasn't that deep pass from Jacoby Brissett to Wilson called back by a penalty, I'm not sure where that game would have headed. It might have been a little bit different outcome. The final score looks fine. Looks like the Rams cruised. I'm seeing some problems, some cracks on that Rams defense. With Devontae Adams on the sideline, the offense has not been running all that smoothly. Had too many drops. It just has not been the Sean McVay offense we expected to see right now. Well, with Devontae Adams back, maybe that's going to be exactly what the Rams offense need. I'm concerned more about the defense than anything. And you could say, well, maybe the Panthers are not the opponent that can exploit that. And that's probably true. I don't really fear a lot about this Carolina offense. But at the same time, you know, you're playing on Saturday on the East Coast, laying a big number. You have not been playing well down the stretch. I think it's a little bit too many points here, and I'll probably be on the home dog. I have not bet it yet. I just want to think about this one a little bit more this week, but I'm leaning to the Carolina side. I don't think the market's going to move to 9.5 here. If anything, you might be able to get 10.5 or 11 by kickoff. Johnny Avello was on with us tonight, Tim, and he said he thinks there's going to be a lot more Rams support in the betting market, right?
Yeah, and yeah. I think that's fair and certainly money.
I expect the Rams to win the game, but that's a big number to cover on the road. Here's an early game on the East Coast for the Rams.
Here's the question when you look at the bracket, and of course the Seahawks will get the lowest remaining seed, so they could get the Rams if chalk holds, right, if the Eagles and Bears both win. If you're the Seahawks, what are you quietly hoping for? I don't think you want to face the Rams in the first round or in the divisional round, right? Are you hoping that – I think you're hoping the Packers beat the Bears.
I'm going to say this. There's only one team in the NFC I think the Seahawks probably fear, and that's the Rams.
I agree. So if you face them in the divisional round after winning that miracle game just a couple weeks ago with the weird two-point conversion, back and forth, we went two-point conversion, they get it again in overtime, all of that. They just took care of the 49ers. That was impressive to see what they did in that one, especially defensively. But I don't think you want chalk holding in that first round because that would mean, just from a seeding standpoint, the Rams are coming up to see you. Now,
say something about the Panthers real quick.
I hope the Panthers pull the upset. That's
we'll talk about this.
One.
The Panthers got screwed by the officials in the game at Tampa Bay, by the way.
Yeah.
There were three big calls that went against them, and that was very unfortunate. Tim, tell us about PropheticX.
Well, I will do so, as PropheticX, the number one sports prediction market, has some of the best future pricing you'll find on the College Football National Championship. PropheticX is 20% purchase match. You can take advantage of it now. Download PropheticX today.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime as we keep it rolling here on Monday night. Our VSiN Primetime game of the night, the FCS National Championship, Montana State. Their opening drive of the second half did not get them any points, unlike the drive to end the first half, Matt. And a big spot here for the Redbirds inside Montana State territory, 3rd and 4 right now for Illinois State as they trail 21-7. Illinois State went off as 10.5-point underdogs. And looks like they will get pretty close to a first down there. So, Matt, we'll have an FCS champion crowned tonight. And in 2 weeks, we'll have an FBS champion crowned. And maybe it will be the Indiana Hoosiers. They are the favorites to do so. And a gentleman who I don't even know what he would do if the Indiana Hoosiers win a national championship in football is Wes Reynolds, who joins us right now, courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. And, Wes, the dismantling of Alabama did not surprise you. You were in attendance there in Pasadena as the Hoosiers took care of business and dominated. And now they take on Oregon, and you were in attendance up at Autzen in October when Indiana won that game. what has changed in your eyes from the October 11th 30-20 win to this Friday night's game down in Atlanta?
Yeah, from the Oregon side, Tim, I think the defense, save for the James Madison second half or Dan Lanning, I think we talked about it on the podcast, really got his team's attention. Then they, you know, shut out Texas Tech. So I think the defense has improved gradually. And it wasn't bad in the October 11th matchup up at Autzen, but the defense has, I think, gotten a lot better. So Indiana is going to have to try to win the line of scrimmage yet again. I thought they were just a little bit better than Oregon on both sides of the ball, and they're going to have to run the ball. What really, I think, nothing really surprised me in terms of the outcome, maybe the margin of victory at the Rose Bowl, but what really did surprise me was how easily Indiana was able to run the ball on Alabama. And if they can run that just half as well as they did in the Rose Bowl, I think that they're going to get another win over the Ducks.
Wes, I was going to ask you about that too, because up front, Indiana looks really strong, offensive and defensive lines. When you were at that Oregon game early in the season, did you see Indiana dominate the line of scrimmage on both sides?
I felt that they, maybe not dominant, but I felt that they were a little bit better, Matt, on both sides. I just felt Oregon couldn't get any of those run game explosives. And I think one of the reasons they couldn't is not just the play of the defensive line, but one thing you notice watching Indiana, if you watch that Rose Bowl game, this is a really good tackling team at all three levels, not only on the defensive line, but at linebacker. Aiden Fisher, the All-American, he was all over the place. He takes great angles. He ran down ball carriers numerous times, led the team in tackles. And then the secondary, D'Angelo Pons and Lewis Moore and those guys, they tackle really well. So it is very hard to get a lot of like yards after catch or, you know, bust a big run anywhere on the field because these guys don't miss tackles. And that's what Indiana's going to have to do, is be the good tackling team that they've been all season.
Wes, any truth to the rumor that you may be leaving VSIN to take the job as special assistant to Kurt Cignetti?
we'll see what the money offer is.
That's probably good. Indiana's got a lot of money. You're throwing a lot of money around right now, right?
Yeah, man, we are. Success always brings players, and off to a good start for next year's class. But they're focused on this year, and have just been pleased with what I've seen. A lot of people yesterday were saying, "Well, Kurt Cignetti doesn't really develop players. He's got guys he recruited at the James Madison
that's
that are
dumbest thing
all Americans."
Say, who said that? Because he has no five stars on that roster, right? Aren't they all?
No,
Aiden Fisher. Yeah, he was a guy, right? He was a massive recruit. No way, he went to James Madison.
Right.
I mean, come on now.
Right.
Look,
D'Angelo Pons, all those guys.
Right, and to your point, now that they're having success, and when you get a guy like Fernando Mendoza, by the way, I looked it up. Fernando Mendoza, and I'm not saying that 247 Sports is gospel. He was the 22nd best transfer per their rankings last year.
I said, come on.
Right. So
actually, we were on this show and I said, I can't believe Indiana got Fernando Mendoza. We loved him at Cal.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a steal. Cignetti and his staff did a great job scouting that QB
situation. They know
how
to evaluate talent. They do a great job. And apparently it is possible to play games and bring in players to the portal. Maybe they could tell another institution
Notre
in
Dame.
Indiana. But
Notre Dame's had a lot of time off to recruit. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Hey, Wes, you've traveled around the country here following the Hoosiers. You're like Lewis and Clark. You're going all over the place. Are you headed to Atlanta for the Oregon-Indiana game on Friday?
I will be on that midnight train to Georgia there on from Nashville, riding down with a college classmate of mine, flying in there on Thursday. But yeah, looking forward to the Peach Bowl, expecting a relatively lopsided Indiana crowd. It was obviously very lopsided at the Rose Bowl. It was at least 80-20. Might get 70-30 here this time around, because that's a lot of travel for Oregon to go to Miami and then to go to Atlanta and potentially go back to Miami again. Mm-hmm. So expect a good cream and crimson turnout on Friday night.
With the number of 3.5, and we've seen 4 out there in the market, total of 46.5. Rematches are tricky when the favorite loses the first time around. How confident are you in the Hoosiers laying 3.5? Any thoughts on the total?
Yeah, I like the money line here personally. I know there was some movement. This was 4 pretty much across the board. So now we're seeing some 3.5. I think for what you said, Matt, I think that's one of the reasons why that's getting bet on the Oregon side. And Oregon is very capable. This is not like the Alabama game where it's like, you know what, IU may start out slow, but there's no way they're losing to these guys because they're just better. Oregon is very capable of winning this game, especially if they're forcing turnovers. But that's one thing Indiana doesn't do. They don't turn the ball over. They don't commit penalties. They don't make mistakes. I saw our buddy Chris DeBear Felica kind of pointed that out. That's one of the main reasons why Indiana's having their success. Well, there was an old Indiana coach that often said, dumb loses more than smart wins, and Indiana doesn't make dumb plays. So, you know, I got to keep trusting these guys. They've given me no reason really not to. The fact that they don't make mistakes. They make smart plays. They make big catches, and they just know what to do. And this is an older veteran group who I think is very mature beyond their years here.
You know, Wes, what do you make about the total? I took some 47.5 under, probably going to take a little first half under as well. It does feel like to me, and maybe I'm crazy, but it feels like to me, looking back at that game they played in October, you had the pick six. It does feel like these are two really strong defenses right now, where you could see a bit of a tug of war, so to speak.
It's hard to take it over in an Indiana game right now, as potent as the offense can be, Tim, because if you look at the three teams they've beaten, the three quarterfinalists, I should say, the top eight teams, Alabama scored 3, Ohio State scored 10, and Oregon scored 13. 7 for the 20 was the pick 6. So, you know, you're giving up less than 9 points a game to three of the top eight teams in the country. So it's hard to take an over, I think, with Oregon and Indiana. And that's why you're seeing some 46.5, I think, up here in the market. And then what Oregon did to Texas Tech, and I know this isn't the Texas Tech offense, you know, you think like Mike Leach and Cliff Kingsbury and chuck it all over the yard, but that's not what this is anymore. They were very much run-based, and the quarterback, Byron Morton, you know, was playing hurt, let's be honest. But Oregon's defense was very impressive in the Orange Bowl.
How about the Miami-Mississippi matchup with Hurricanes? 3.5-point favorites, total of 51.5. Anything you want to play there?
Lean a little bit Ole Miss here at 3.5, okay, actually, because Miami, all of a sudden, I know we were all on the U getting the 10 and the 9.5. Mm-hmm. Now they beat what was seen as the favorite. They beat Goliath, right? They beat the defending national champion, Ohio State. Now you're seeing that premium get put in there, I think, for the U. And Ole Miss, amidst all the controversy, which assistants are going to be coaching, you know, and the whole deal with Lane Kiffin, he just never goes away. I think that this team is focused. I've been really impressed with Trinidad Chambliss. That guy, you know, comes up from Ferris State, was a Division II player of the year, and doesn't even win the starting job at a camp. That was Austin Simmons. And what he's done with this team, I just think Ole Miss, they're kind of on a mission here. And they're playing, I think, they're playing with nothing to lose, because they've already lost their coach. So they're kind of like the, you know, middle finger in the air to everybody. Like, oh, yeah, watch this. And that's how Ole Miss is playing. So at 3 in the hook, I like the Rebels.
Wes, being a Big Ten guy, do you have an old Bill Frieder, Steve Fisher flashback when you watch this Ole Miss team, when you think about that Michigan basketball team of 1989?
Yes. My best Bo Schembechler here. I don't want an LSU man. I want a Mississippi man.
Uh-huh.
Of course, that's what he said about Bill Frieder back in the day.
And that worked for Michigan.
I think that's how Ole Miss is playing.
Yeah,
it did, and it's working for Ole Miss so far.
Hey, we're going to talk some college hoops with you after the break. If you can hang around, we got to talk college hoops and a little NFL playoffs. Tim, give us an update on what's happening in Nashville.
All right, we got a touchdown. There was a fumble. Looks like the Redbirds pounced on it in the end zone. So Illinois State, the dog, showing a little bit of life here. And I know Kenny White and big Randy McKay have to be happy with the touchdown that was just scored by Illinois State with 5.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. 21-13, extra point pending. Wes, you cool to hang out for another segment?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll talk a little college basketball with Wes Reynolds. And speaking of college basketball, USC and Michigan State, it has not been the most aesthetically pleasing first half there in East Lansing. A football score, Matt. Michigan State leads 33-17 at the half. More with Wes Reynolds. Talk some college basketball with him on the other side. It is VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Matt's getting texts, reading them on the air. 21-14, our game of the night, the FCS championship. Our colleague Stormy Bonantoni's getting a good one down there as the underdog showing some life here, and we will see if they can get another stop. Montana State, a touchdown lead against Illinois State.
This right Illinois now. State team just does not go away. Ask North Dakota State about that. Wes Reynolds rejoins us here. And Wes, do you have any action on Illinois State, Montana State tonight?
I've got a little over here. Montana State's pretty dynamic offensively, but I did not play the side. I probably should have played the Indiana connection. Of course, Brock Spack, the longtime defensive coordinator at Purdue under Joe Tiller, heading up the Redbirds effort here. So Illinois State, though, has gotten back in the game. I have a little bit of over 57.
Wow. Man, Montana State showing some cracks right now as Justin Lawson, the Stanford transfer, couple errant throws and big third down coming up as the live line has now dipped under double digits. Not too long ago, it was 20 and a half. Might have been a good time to look at Illinois State. Matt, some people would call them feisty.
I would call Justin Lampson a quarterback who's going to end up at a big D1 program next season. Wes, what do you make of what's happening in college football right now? Indiana's making some big moves, a lot of money being thrown around, quarterbacks getting top dollar on the market. What jumps out to you?
Yeah, it's what you got to do. And Indiana is going to have a potential second act now with Josh Hoover, who, by the way, transfers in from TCU. Josh Hoover actually did commit to the Hoosiers when Tom Allen was the coach and then have ended up decommitting and going to TCU. But it was pointed out yesterday, I think it was Pete Thamel of ESPN that said he is the leading returning passer in college football. So, to get Hoover, I think that that's a big get for Indiana. But I see some of these quarterbacks that I don't know what he got. I haven't found that out yet. But some of the rumors with some of these quarterbacks out there, there are some mediocre quarterbacks like Lagway and some of these guys that are getting like big money.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're getting the leading passer in all of college football. What the hell is he got to be getting?
Rumors were 3 to 5, but who knows what ultimately it was. And Sorsby reportedly $5 million down at Texas Tech. Wes Reynolds joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Wes, we mentioned it briefly. Tomorrow's slate, a little more robust college basketball wise than tonight's was. Looking at a spot, I just got to ask you on Michigan, how do you properly power rate this team as they did it again on Friday night? They have now beaten three top 25 teams by 30 or more points. They're laying 23.5 on the road at Penn State, and I can't imagine too many people are racing to take the points with the Nittany Lions.
No, I'm certainly not. In fact, for my power rating, I have Michigan power rated 4.5 better than everybody in the country right now. I think that they have been that good. And that would be over Purdue and over Arizona. Arizona is my number two team, by the way. But I was just going through my Big Ten numbers, which surprised me tonight that Rutgers got the upset. They always knock off somebody at the rack, right?
Yep, yep.
And they did it to Oregon tonight in overtime. No Shellstad for the Ducks. But I actually have Michigan power rated 31 points better than Rutgers on a neutral. Now, would I lay that? Of course not. But that's, I think, the big difference between the top and the bottom in the Big Ten. And Dusty May, Darian DeVries, I think, is doing a solid job at Indiana, but I'm always going to be wanting for Dusty May. And Indiana had their opportunity, but they stuck with Mike Woodson for that extra year. Not that I'm bitter about that.
You know what? I said this to a IU fan on New Year's Day. I said, if Indiana did not stick with Mike Woodson one year too many, you could have Dusty May and Kurt Cignetti right now. It gets no better than that, Wes. But they blew it, right? What stuck one
year
too
long? I'll go back and take some classes. I'll go back and take some classes. Maybe get another degree that I'm not using right now.
Could have the potentially the best coach.
That dynamic duo.
Oh my gosh! And Dusty May wanted the Indiana job, but they stuck with Woodson for one more year. Wes, have you had a chance to break down the Tuesday college hoops card? There's some big time matchups actually on Tuesday that we were going to talk about. Anything that you've seen so far?
Well, one that I did play, and it's moved a little bit, but Oklahoma State against UCF, two teams off to a really good start in the Big 12 that were kind of, middler or maybe toward the back end they were predicted in the conference. UCF, of course, Johnny Dawkins and his guys, they got a huge win over Kansas, by the way, as Darren Peterson goes down again. So I'm going to be interested to see if KU, you know, at one point, do they shut this down or does he shut it down? Because it's like, okay, I'm a top five pick consensus in the draft. But I like Oklahoma State here over UCF tomorrow. Steve Lutz, who you're familiar with, Matt, former Purdue assistant under Matt Painter. They just got boat raced at Texas Tech. They got beat by 22, gave up 100 points. I like this Cowboy team, though, offensively, because they've got some big-time scorers. Anthony Roy, you remember he played under Doug Gottlieb last year at Wisconsin, Green Bay. Victorious Miller, Kanye Clary, who was once at Penn State. They got like three or four guys that can just get buckets every single night. And I think they might be able to kind of overpower UCF a little bit. UCF's trying to get a little more up-tempo. They've won 11 in a row ever since they lost that second game of the season to Vanderbilt. But maybe a little bit of regression from the three coming for UCF. I like the Cowboys tomorrow.
All right, Wes, how about Duke at Louisville? Right now, Duke 1.5 point favorite. Blue Devils struggled at Florida State, but Louisville without Mykel Brown, star freshman, in that game. So that's a marquee matchup. I wanted to throw another one at you. UCLA, Wisconsin. Badgers are 3.5 point home favorites, and they got blown out at home by Purdue over the weekend. And this Wisconsin team, big disappointment to me so far this season. But UCLA off a loss at Iowa. You've also got Texas Tech at Houston, Texas at Tennessee. Anything else in those games jump out at you?
Yeah, with UCLA, Wisconsin, Wisconsin's obviously running more tempo, and they started that last year with Greg Gard when Kirk Penny was an assistant, kind of modernized the offense. They spread it out a little bit, went a little away from that Bo Ryan, Greg Gard flex motion, and they're getting up and down the floor. But I kind of like the under here between UCLA and Wisconsin. Both, you know, Mick Cronin always says, hey, I want to get up and down. And then all of his games seem to turn into rock fights, you know, like they were at Cincinnati, where it's like, okay, the best offense is a missed shot and they're going to rebound the hell out of the ball. I think both these teams desperate. UCLA, by the way, they got beat by what I think is really the surprise early on in the Big Ten, Iowa. Yep. We weren't sure how good this Iowa team was going to be, even though McCollum brought a lot of people from Des Moines, from Drake with him. It's like, okay, how are they going to translate to the Big Ten level? Well, so far, so good, I think, for the Hawkeyes, who are laying about 6.5 at Minnesota. That might be a little bit of a tricky spot for Iowa off a big win at UCLA.
You know, Wes, I haven't brought it up to humans. I might have a whole segment having him recap the Boise State San Diego State game with us, because he was on San Diego State. You laid three. Never had an easier push in your life, Matt, to have San Diego State in, what was it, triple overtime?
Triple overtime.
So now you got San Diego State going to Nevada tomorrow. Here at Circa, it's a pick. It's a late night game. Any thoughts on San Diego State, Nevada tomorrow night at 11 p.m.
Eastern time? Steve Alford, another IU guy. One of Wes's first memories as a kid was Steve Alford throwing in the winning shot, 1987, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, we'll see if Steve Alford would certainly like to have Joel Armatrading back. He's missed the last seven, the kid from England, 7-footer. Hasn't had him, but it hadn't really hurt the Wolfpack. They have won 7 in a row, and they're now 3-0 in the Mountain West. But kind of a surprising team, but they don't turn the ball over, and they get to the foul line. I would lean Nevada here a little bit, but I do think that's priced in with the Aztecs coming in off a triple overtime game.
Yeah, they did have two road wins last week. Colorado State, Fresno State's not really anyone you want to be too excited to beat by just 1 point, though. So we will see. Wes, always appreciate it. Wes will be on Wednesdays with Wes on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast before he takes off for Atlanta. Wes, always appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Wes Reynolds. We got another touchdown, Matt. Your favorite player, Taco Dowler.
Taco. Love that.
Touchdown love that run, and Stanford Steve on Twitter wants to know, does this guy still have eligibility? He does. Could we see another? Could we see some Bobcats hitting the portal, Matt, this game?
I think some Bobcats have been making themselves some money here in the postseason. Quarterback. Justin Lamson, Taco Dower, the receiver. This really talented Montana State team. I noticed that a couple weeks ago, and I watched maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I watched that first playoff game. Tim, I've got something from the association that's going to stun you.
Ooh, that is Now that's a tease.
But we don't have time to talk about it now. We got to take a break.
Yeah, I think I might be looking at it, and it might involve a team
don't do it.
All right. I won't give it away. What I will give away, people at VSiN, Matt, we're giving away VSiN Pro subscriptions, $9.99 right now. You can check out everything we have to offer: daily best bets. You know, Wes Reynolds throws in picks every day, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, 24/7 video, and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app. Get started today for just $9.99. VSiN.com/subscribe. A stunning development in the association, according to Matt Eumanns.